We concluded yesterday the sugya of Pashchur ben Imer. Okay, that was one sugya, so that was concluded. How he assaulted Yirmiyah by actually assaulted him, and he put him in a prison or put him in some type of restraint. And the next day Yirmiyah came out and Yirmiyah cursed him, "How dare you injure me, how dare you hit me when I'm giving over the words of Hashem." Now Yirmiyah, after this event obviously shook up Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah, as it appears, was a very sensitive person. Very, had a very thin skin. A very hard time dealing with all of the abuse.
I don't know. What do you want? Kahanim have thin skins, right?
No, not necessarily. Kahanim, no.
They get angry.
It doesn't mean they have one thing doesn't do with the other. They could have a thick skin. They just have a temper also. All right, whatever the situation is, Yirmiyah was obviously, he was very sensitive. We find this many, many times. And here again, once again, after this event, Yirmiyah is coming to complain to Hashem in very bitter terms, very bitter words. Why did you, Hashem, choose me for this job? And he actually goes on to say some very shocking things, as we're going to see. Pitisani Hashem ve'efos. Hashem, you persuaded me. And I allowed myself to be persuaded. Now, what do you mean? You persuaded me to be a Navi. This, again, goes back to the beginning of the Sefer Yirmiyah. The Shbaruch Hu said to Yirmiyah, before you were created, before you were conceived, it was meant to be that you would be a Navi for me. I recruited you from the very, very beginning. And therefore, with those words, I accepted the mission. Chazaktani vatuchol. And you made me strong. Hashem, I acknowledge that you indeed made me very strong, vatuchol, so that I would prevail, I would be able to accomplish the mission that you sent me upon. However, I have to recognize, even though I have survived, even though that I'm strong and I'm still alive, and they did not succeed in assassinating me and poisoning me and doing all these harmful things to me, Hashem, you have to still acknowledge, hayisi l'sfei kol hayom, kulo lo yegli, the entire day I'm a laughing stock. All day long, and the entire day they all mock me. All of the Klal Yisrael is mocking me. So in other words, we're saying over here is that it's true, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you have made me strong and I prevailed. I did not die, but there is collateral damage. The collateral damage is I have been affected by this experience. Let us see the Mesudah Sala Pasuk Zayin. Yirmiyah says, "Pitisani, Ato Hashem potis osi l'leches b'shlichos secha. You, Hashem, have persuaded me to go on this mission. Vo'efos, and I allowed myself to be persuaded. Kibalti hapitui, I accepted the persuasion. Chazaktani, you strengthened me. Chazakto oisi bidvorim b'amrcha altira libnehem, you strengthened me with words. You've guaranteed that they will not succeed in killing me. Vinei b'zeh yichodos deftois osi, and that's the reason why you're able to persuade me. If I would know that it was a real danger, that I would be killed, I would never accept the mission. The fact that you guaranteed my safety, that is why I proceeded with the mission. However, there is collateral damage. Everyone mocks and laughs at me and what I do. Rashi, Pasik Zayin, there is Piti Rashi, Piti Sani, Laleches Bishli Chosecha, you have persuaded me to go on your mission. Chizakani, you have strengthened me. Hichbadato Ola Yodcha Hachazoko, Laleches Al Korchi. According to Rashi, Rashi is coming to disagree with the Mitzudos. Chizakani means you overpowered me, you forced me. So that's really a contradiction. Mitzad echad, you persuaded me, and I allowed myself to be persuaded. That's a soft
the
expression.
To
persuade.
No, so it's like coerce. You take over the guy's control.
That's chazakani. That's exactly the point I'm trying to make. Is that it's a contradiction. That there are two different dimensions to the mission of Yirmiyah. According to the Mitzudos, there's only one statement. Let's go take a step back. According to the Mitzudos, there was only one thing. This mission, I accepted 100% voluntarily. 100% I was a volunteer, out of the goodness of my heart. You persuaded me. I mean, it didn't go easy. I originally said, no, I'm not going to take the mission. But now you said some soft words to me, and I accepted. It says over here, and if you look over here, the Lord, go and talk back to the mitzvah just to make this point clear. In the mitzvahs, when it says, chazaktani, you strengthen me, it doesn't mean you force me. It means that was part of the persuasion. You strengthen me with words. Yirmiyah, don't worry. I'm not going to allow them to harm
you.
You motivated me. Chazakta osi bidvam. You strengthen me with words. And therefore, because of this, these words of encouragement, that is how you were able to, you succeed in persuading me. But that's not how Rashi learns. Rashi says very clearly, chazaktani. Chazaktani means you overpowered me. You basically forced me. You did not give me a choice. You weighed down upon me your mighty hand. Loleches, to go. You could not be more explicit. Al karchi, against my will. But that is a contradiction to what it says in the beginning of the pasuk. Of you persuaded pitisani Hashem vo'efos. The word pitisani has a connotation. Even according to Rashi, is I'm a volunteer. I'm a volunteer. So the answer is, according to Rashi, there are two dimensions in being a public servant. There are aspects in being a public servant where it's volunteer work. What?
Bad days.
And then there are things that you have no choice. This is your calling in life. It's a complex, very interesting for all rabbanim.
It's also like, unless you're constantly being chazaktani.
Yeah.
If you get out of that, you fall back. You get depressed. You know, you're a public servant. You're working hard all the time. And one guy doesn't appreciate it, and he tells you that.
You want to quit.
You want to quit, and then wait for the next person to come into the.
But then you realize you have no choice. This is my calling in life. It's a complex world. Every person, when they fulfill their tafkid in life, mitzadecha, no one told you to do this. You volunteered. On the other hand, you're not a volunteer. You recognize this is your calling. This is what you're forced into doing.
It's hard to say you've been volunteered.
You've been volunteered. Rashi is saying something here very deep. This is a very good source material for a drasha, for an installation, for a rabbi, for a graduation, for some type of any commencement exercise. There's a very powerful message. There's you're being persuaded, you're a volunteer, but it's also this is what you're here to do. Vatuchol. Vinitzachta. Now, Vatuchol over here, again, this can be the difference between according to Rashi and the Mitzudos. Vinitzachta, Vatuchol, according to the Mitzudos, means I take it back. Vatuchol really is it means you succeed.
You won.
You won in either you persuading me or you succeed in forcing me to do what you told me to do. Okay, Kula. However, now he goes on to complain, even though it's true that I have done your bidding, there is collateral damage to my poor soul. I'm a sensitive, delicate creature, and I have a difficult time dealing with criticism. Rashi takes the word, Rashi takes the word in the Pasuk, let's go back to the Pasuk, Kol Hayom Kulo. Is the word kulo going on the day? It's 24/7. I'm getting these nasty emails. A minute does not go by without a new post. You know, you have the Google alerts. You can put up the Google alert every time your name appears on Google. You ever do that? Set up a Google alert. Anything that you want to know, anything of that really interests you, anytime it appears, it's in the search engine where they continuously monitor the internet and they find something that would be key or keywords, they'll send you an email. So people do it with their name. Very common, you type in your name. Anytime that your name appears, something new about you appears online, you get an email from Google alert. Your name now has appeared somewhere. You should know what's going on. So you're going to send. So if you take the post, as I read the post, when it says kulo, I thought it meant is that the entire day I am being harassed, non-stop harassment. But it's not what Rashi says. Rashi says kulo means every single person in Klal Yisrael. I have not even one friend, and not even one friend. Everyone in Klal Yisrael. When the word kulo is not going on the time, on the day, it's going on the people. Every single member of Klal Yisrael is harassing me and is insulting me and laughing at me continuously. Pasik, let's see, Radak Pasik Zion. Let's see, Radak and Zovia Piti Sani, Hashem, you have persuaded me. Lefi Shika, I see Pashur Rashi with Radak. So going back over here to the story from yesterday. Pashur, Venos Noso, Bima, Poches. Pashur put Yirmiyah in prison or in a restraint. That's the Radak is coming to explain that is, that is the flow, the continuation of these. Sukim Tzak Chomos Mitatzaro, Yirmiyah is crying out Chomos. He's crying out Chomos, an expression, he's crying out that it's not fair. Ze lo fair. This is not fair. That, I think in Hebrew that's what they say it, right? Or they say fairy, they say the fair. It's not fair. Ze tzoak chomos mitoch tzaro v'yomar pitisani, you have persuaded me Hashem, k'odem ha-mafatech ha-vero, ki ani ho-yisi moine atzmi min shlichu secho. I refuse to do your to go on this mission. V'yamarti, aho, Hashem Elokim. Hinei lo yidati daber kinar nochi. This is the first parak, parak al pasuk vav. V'yata, and you Hashem, piti soni, v'yamarti li, al toimar nar nochi. Do not worry, I will tell you what to do. And I allowed myself to be persuaded, vo'efos, v'ani ho'yisi nifto l'vorecha. Next words. Chazaktani, v'atuchol, Hayiso chazok mimeni b'taina v'yocheleshli v'yosisi shlichu secha. The Radak is like somewhere in the middle. Okay, it's somewhere in the middle. He's saying your words of persuasion overpowered me. It's
okay, your arguments are better than mine. Right?
Well, your arguments are better than mine, but it's not as strong as Rashi. Rashi says hichbadito yodcha hachazoka. Your strong hand forced me against my will. Somehow he's in the middle. Everyone is mocking me. Kulo, whose word kulo? So the Radak is equivalent to the Rashi. It's going on klal yisrael. Omer al yisrael derech klal. Vo'efos. Now we go into some grammar. Okay, this is not my niche, my specialty here. Vo'efos mibinyan nifol. V'yiya b'tashlumoy efte al mishkal ebone. I don't know, these are different grammatical forms of the word. Every word has the three letters. Pei, Ayin, Lamed. Okay, the three letters of the Sheresh. And here we're missing the last letter. Sometimes one of the letters of the Sheresh falls away in different binyonim. So here the last letter, Vo'efos, so the word over here should really be is Efteh. There should be over here a Hey at the end. The Hey is really part of the Sheresh. But the hay, which is the lamed of the poal, it falls away. Efos kmo tigol ervos tigol ervosech will be expose your erva. So they're also tigole. It's word tigole gila gimel lamed hay. The hay is the lamed hapoel. So the lamed hapoel falls away here as well. Efa is the shoresh. Aleph pei hey. The hey is falling away. Gila ervasech vayikor elokim. It should say kora elokim. Kora kuf resh aleph. The aleph of kora is the lamed poel. It also falls.
Oh, it should be a
hey. Vayikor with the hey. Vayikor is with aleph. No.
That's
if kara was an occurrence, it was an occurrence. Okay, kara, it was an occurrence, not a calling out. The difference between vayikar, so we just say kara is with a hay at the end. So the hay is the lamid poal, it falls away. Now here's a very important radak. Radak over here is saying that how can Yirmiyah do this? Yirmiyah is complaining to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When Moshe complained to Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem let Moshe have it. Hashem said to Moshe, "Oh, chaval on the avos, so ere el Avraham el Yitzchak el avos, u'shmi Hashem lo yedaki lohen." Moshe, you don't hold a candle to the avos. The avos, I never promised them anything. They never complain. You're a complainer. So Hashem let Moshe have it. And Hashem even punished Moshe. Moshe was stricken with tzaras. Part of the simonim was to put the yad, and that's Chazal.
Leadership that reflects the people he's leading.
The people he's leading.
Is a complainer. They're complainers.
Okay, but Hashem let Moshe have it in many different ways. Hashem told Moshe that stop complaining already, and Hashem told Moshe punish him physically with tzaras. We don't find Yirmiyah being punished for his bitter complaints. He says some very harsh things.
Yeah, he's running to prison. And he's being beaten up. I mean,
no, but not by Hashem. I mean, the Malm says they did it to himself because he went off script. The Malm said yesterday he went off script and he went and he prophesied in the Chatz, so he was never told to do that. So this one is not protected. But we find Hashem treating him with gloves. Hashem does not give him Musar for the bitterness which continuously appears over and over. So here it's very, very important where Rav Ak, and he says this is not considered to be against him. It's not a strike against him. Why not? Ella divrei tsahar al atzmai. So he seems to be saying, Radak, is he's not these words, he's not directing to Hashem. He's directing to himself. He's frustrated.
He's
bemoaning his plight. Okay, very explicit, Radak. We do not consider these harsh words as a sin. Before we did find. There, I don't remember this. Even though I did Chazan, it's not long ago. But there he said these harsh words. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you're an achzar, and there we do find HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishing him. We're talking back. He also had the davar chet k'neged okel l'fichoch amaloi im toshuv v'ashivicha k'mo shepirashu. Hashem responded, if you will now remember, if Hashem responded to him, if you will say you're sorry to me, we can kiss and make up. Right? Remember that there was many interpretations of this pasuk. Not that long ago we learned this, is that Hashem was angry, that Yiri, why are you complaining so much? If you'll do tshuva, I will forget what you said, and we will go forward with our mission. So there you do see HaKadosh Baruch Hu demanding of Yirmiyah, you better say you're sorry, or else you're going to be in trouble. Here, we don't find HaKadosh Baruch Hu criticizing Yirmiyah, and that's what Radak Rabbi is saying, is because here he's not speaking directly to Hashem, he's bemoaning his plight, or here in the art scroll, they actually, I don't know if they quote Radak, they quote someone else, they quote Chazal, that ain from the Barbanel, yeah, he quotes the Barbanel here. Ain Adam Nitzas Bishas Tsar. Chazal said that a person who complains at a time of his tsar, it's not held against him. Every person is different, everyone has a different breaking point. We have that with Eoif. Eoif more or less was not held accountable for his harsh words against the Kodesh Baruch Hu because of his very big tsar, the matzah that he was in. Ain Adam Nitzas Al Tsar. A person is not held accountable for things that he says against the Kodesh at the time of his tzar. Yirmiyah here was distraught. He was suffering post-traumatic, what's it called?
Stress syndrome.
PTSD. Four letters. PTDS.
PTSD.
PTSD. Okay. But Yirmiyah is in a state of tsar, and therefore it's not held against him. We have the Radak's version, and we have the Abarbanel's version.
That's why someone before should say, Alfred Moshe named Aaron, at the time he did not complain immediately. Let him stew a little bit, not because you don't want to start up with him when he's a tsar, and other than he just died. Alfred Moshe, who was after a while, he asked the Tazria Mitzora, you know, 2 weeks in between, and then he says, you know,
then he complains.
You know, give him time to, not going
to
scream
to digest.
I guess that's the point. Is it looks as though it's part of this monologue, and so he feels
justified in his complaint.
He feels that because before he's addressing his enemies. And now, you know, what's this? So he figures now this put this into a thought bubble, and it's not part of his monologue.
No, so the Radak is saying it is part. What?
He's saying he didn't verbalize his complaints to Hashem.
No, he didn't verbalize his complaints, but they weren't.
But they weren't held against him. He did verbalize his complaints. Mm-hmm. Look at these words; they're very strong words over here, and we're coming even to
is
much.
He's saying this is his thought rather than a.
That's the Radak. The Radak is saying he's not speaking to Hashem. Right? According to the Radak, he's speaking to himself.
But he's still speaking.
He's still saying harsh words.
He's not verbalizing. He verbalized himself.
according to the Barbanel, the Barbanel seems to say that he's speaking directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's actually complaining to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to hold it against him because he is in a very deep state of pain. And he's not responsible. But what about the Barbanel does not address what about what Radak says, what about going back to Perek Tes Vav or Perek Tes Zayin, and there HaKadosh Baruch Hu did give Musa. So you have to, there was a different Matzev. The Matzev was not as bad. So there he was at a point where he should have been able to control himself. He did not control himself, so there he was held accountable for complaining. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Ches. Again, we have many pasukim here which express very, 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 very harsh words. Ki midei adaber ezok. Now he's saying over here, this is my situation. Whenever I speak, ki midei adaber ezok. Whenever I speak, I cry. Whenever I speak to them, I have no choice. I'm being forced to scream. Now, ezok has a connotation of unpleasantness. Chomos v'shod ekra, I call out with words of chomos, corruption and robbery. I call out. I make it known to them that they're all a bunch of good for nothings. Ki hoya dvar Hashem li lecherpa. And the word of Hashem, this that I would relate to the people, the word of Hashem was a source for me as lecherpa, for shame, ulekeles, and derision kol hayom. In other words, that I was associated, the fact that the word of Hashem came through me, people always viewed me as a disgusting person, because I never had anything good to say to the people. There are many words being used here. Ezok, chomos, v'shod. These three words brought for me, upon me, cherpa and keles. Let's see the mitzudos. Pasuk ches. Ki midei adaber. Mosai shadaber divin nevuah. Every time I gave forth words of nevuah, ani, I always had one message. Gloom and doom. It was a broken record. That's a very difficult concept, because most of Yeshaya is gloom and doom. Right. And yet we say Yeshaya kul divrei nechama. Everything in Yeshaya is divrei nechama. And Yirmiyah, there's very positive things in Yirmiyah. There's some very nice things in Yirmiyah. But yet Yirmiyah is associated with gloom and doom. Obviously, it all depends on your tone. Even the gloom and doom of Yeshaya, it appears, had a positive, uplifting tone to it.
Well, Yeshaya was, in generally, he was saying that even though all these things will befall you, you will go back after 70 years.
Okay, that's one answer.
Yirmiyahu was just saying it's, and it's imminent.
Imminent. Yeah. Oh, that's the main difference.
Yeah, right.
Because Yeshaya, it was not practical for the people, because it was 200 years.
They still had time.
200 years. It's not their lifetime.
Right.
And that's exactly what Chizkiyahu said. Yeshaya told Chizkiyahu that because you brought Merodach Beladon into the Kodesh HaKadoshim to show him, he'll eventually come and take everything in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So Chizkiyahu says, okay, as long as it's not in my lifetime.
Yeah.
That's what he says.
Like we have talked about all the stuff of the Shalom.
It's long as it's a palace. One of the most. Those are the psukim that's right before Nachamu Nachamu Ami. That's part of the discussion. Last week's Haftorah. Nachamu Nachamu Ami comes immediately after the statement of Chizkiyahu. Okay, I can deal with the Lechorban Beis HaMikdash as long as in my lifetime there will be Shalom and Emes. It's a pella. It's a wonder. How could he say such a thing? So everyone struggles. Everyone struggles to understand what he meant to say, what exactly Chizkiyahu meant to say, and what then is the connection to the words Nachamu, Nachamu. I mean, that was topic for last week, and Haftorah for last week. But that's maybe the main difference, that Yeshaya was predicting something in the distant future. So people didn't look at him as such a bad guy. Yirmiyah was imminent. Yirmiyah gave over the nevuah the last tkufa, certainly like the last 22 years for sure, and more the last, I think, it says during the time of Yeshaya, maybe like 13 years into Yoshiyahu, which would take it to 22, 32, 33, 33, 34 years, something like that. No, 40 weeks, so for 40 years. Whatever, he was a prophet for 40 years. 40 years. So this was the last 40 years of the Beis HaMikdash. It was imminent, therefore he was heated, he was derided. Everything he said was in the category of Chamos Vashod and Ezak Chamos Vashod. Let's see the little here in the Sudos. And to this Pasuk Hes. Ki midi adam bosa shadam edivri nevua anitzoyek avaro hanasa li. Every time I speak words in nevua, I cry out. Al harosh nasa li. Now he's saying something a little different. I cry, the evil that's been done to me. V'ekra b'kol hachamos v'ashoyim haboli b'avura. So I did not translate the pasuk correctly, at least not according to the Perush of the Mitzudos. That he's saying, every time that I give over prophecy, I pay for it. I pay with harassment. And that harassment, that's why I'm crying out. Again, one more time. Mosai shadader, divrei nevuah, ani tzoyek al hara hanasa li. I have to cry out for the pain, ezok, the pain that I have to suffer. Vo'ekra b'kol hachamos v'asher haboli b'avura, because of the pain, because of the disgrace and the abuse I get, because I give over words of harsh words. L'cherpa, they bring cherpa to me. Hema mecharfim mecharfim osi kol hayamim b'avur devar hanevuah. Rashi pasuches midi adaber b'cholish adaber aleihem ani tzarich lizoik ulaharim kol v'eini kor aleihem toiva ki im nevuas chamos v'shod. So you see that Rashi clearly disagrees with the Mitzudos David. Rashi is translating the pasuk like I originally told you, is that the words of Ezok chamos v'shod is a definition of the nature of his prophecy. I relay prophecy, what? The content. It is the explanation of the content. Mitzudos says, no, the content is the content. That's not the subject of this pasuk. It's the price I pay for my message. It's the abuse that I get beaten up. And when I get beaten up, I cry and scream in pain. That's what the Ezok Chomos v'shod. Next, ki kiya dvar Hashem li. That's already the next. That is the next pasuk. There's no dvar masel. Yeah.
He's complaining that he never gives him good news.
Right. That. Right. Well. Yeah.
I'm getting
beaten up because of what I'm saying. Rashi is saying that these words of the pasuk is a definition of the content, and according to the Mitzudos, it is a response to my message. The response to that message is I am beaten and harassed, and it causes me to moan and groan. The Radak, Pasuk Ches, says...
Are you saying that there was nobody in Yerushalayim who supported Yirmiyahu?
Well, he said, pretty much. And we have that everyone. Cool, that was the last Pasuk. The last Pasuk says, Kulo, every single member of society is against me. We had before Rashi yesterday, he says, don't take it literally, because there were survivors. There were survivors. It can't be everyone was against him. There had to be a few people that at least supported him.
But the ruling class, the influential people,
the vast majority was against him. Okay, now then next to Ramaskul, that's the next pasuk.
No,
Ches. Ki yedva Hashem li. That's pasuk Ches.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Or is it? Maybe you're right.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Ki hoy dvar Hashem. He has different. We have different words. No, that's pasuk.
Oh yeah.
Wait. I'm sorry. You're right. You are correct. Ki midi adaber ezok chamos v'sholik v'roch. Ki hoy dvar Hashem l'chabul kelschol yom. I'm sorry. You're right. Ki yiyeh dvar Hashem l'ina. We don't have that word. We don't have the word yiyeh. You have yiyeh or hoya.
Hoya.
You
have hoya.
Oh, Rashi is yiyeh. Okay. So what is it?
Yep.
Nan Much could be Rashi different. That's not so simple. Maybe Rashi a different girsa. Lefichach dibru li cherb. That was one of Rashi's main things, because that Rashi went to.
I think it's an error. The translators also.
I say it's an error. It's not so simple.
Say it's an error. They just ignore the future tense.
Rashi, one of the main things that Rashi contributed was to preserve the proper text, especially with the Gemara, and that's why.
To do with printers.
Okay, but they had the. That's why Rashi went to learn in where did Rashi learn? Which in Worms, because in Worms they had the best manuscripts. Rashi always comes. He says, "Hochi Garcinon." this is the correct gears. A lot of the Dibur Hamaskel, it's a novelty. A Dibur Hamaskel was a very great novelty. Who's the first one to make a Dibur Hamaskel? I think it was Rabbeinu Chananel. On the side of the Gemara, not every Mistach was Rabbeinu Chananel. I think they say he was the one to invent the concept of the Dibur Hamaskel. First he quotes the word of the Gemara, so it's so simple, right? It's to take for granted, and then he gives an explanation.
I think Rabbeinu Chananel was the first to have the running on the Mesech, directly. It's very true. On most
Mesech. Yeah. Rabbeinu, he was the first commentator.
Commentator.
Right, so he invented this concept called the Dibur Hamaskel. Rashi copied him. But Rashi improved upon it, and he used the Dibur Hamaskel as a way to establish the correct Girsa. And that's one of the advantages of learning in Worms. In Worms is where they had the best manuscripts, and they would compare one to the other to determine what is the truly correct traditional Girsa. Now, if this was true for Gemara, for the Talmud, Allah has come to come when it came to Tanakh. And over here, if you have a Dibur Hamaskel, and you don't know for sure, it's interesting over here is there who is right? Maybe Rashi knew something that we do not know. But our Mosori here obviously is the word Hoya. Okay, but Rashi says Kiyat Dvar Hashem Li Lefichach Dibur Li Cherpa Shehem. That's why they spoke about me Cherpa Shehem Macharifim Osi, because they insulted me. They insulted me because of my... I guess these two things go together. I don't really understand what Rashi is saying. Same over here. The reason why they brought upon me shame was because they cursed me. Ule keles, ule dibur.
No, they cursed me because I kept on calling
them bad news. Lefichach dibur li cherpa, shehem
machazik.
They cursed me. Ule keles. Uledibor. The word keles is, he's translating, it's an expression of speech. Kumoy v'kaloso. Kaloso means, sometimes it means praise. Keles sometimes means praise, but here in this form, it's opposite. It means an expression of extreme.
Isn't there something loud or keles?
Oh, so that's keles. This word in Chazal is with
it's a log. They make fun of me.
Mockery. K'mo v'kaloso l'chol ha'aratzos. Kaloso means an insult of all of the lands.
Harabim says log.
Insult. The Pasuk says log. Yeah. Okay. So it means it's an expression of insult. Pasuk, let's see the Radak. Radak Pasuk Ches. Ki mide b'chol eish adaber b'divrei nevuah v'chei mide mide avro. The word mide is an unusual word. We don't have it too often. Mide ki mide adaber. We know this. We take this for granted, but it's not something you have in Tanakh. Very common. B'chol eish shadaber b'divrei nevuah v'chei mide avro. Ve'yihi mide tseisam. It was when v'hadoyim lohen ezak oimer ani zoyeg umem koli luchem lehechicham. Radak is learning like Rashi, that this is describing the nature of the content of what his message. Vine chomos v'shod ekra sheheim oimim li divrei chomos v'shod ad sheyakuni. So I think he's breaking it up. Here he's saying chomos, I call out sheheim oimim li divrei chomos v'shod ad sheyakuni. They say upon me chomos, lies and robbery. Ad sheyakuni, until they hit me. The etzarech likro, and I have to call out chomos al divrayim haroyim sheoim. We have to respond ki hoye dvar Hashem li lecherp ulekeles. The dvar Hashem was me a source of cherp and keles. If I'm not mistaken, it seems over here that the Radak is a hybrid between Rashi and the Mitzudos, where he's taking the first word ki mide adaber ezok. Ezok defines the nature of the content. I cry out to them nasty things. Mm-hmm. And in response, they harass me.
Right.
And when they harass me, then I have to respond to the harassment with saying, you, how dare you? Chomos. Chomos v'shod ekra. In response. That's a hybrid between Rashi and the Mitzvahs, because Rashi says all three words define the nature of the content. I call out Ezok with chomos v'shod ekra, and period. According to the Mitzudos says no. That every time I daber kama, every time I speak words of prophecy, they harass me. And when they harass me, I scream. I'm Ezok. I cry out chomos v'shod. Radak is dividing it. He said Kimidi Adaber Ezok, and the Tameh HaMikra fit much better like the Radak,
right.
Because it says Zokif Katon on the word Ezok. So it's Kimidi Adaber Ezok. Every time I call out with words, nasty words of prophecy, they harass me, and in response, I have to cry out, "Stop hitting me! Stop harassing me!" Chamos v'sholekro. Why did this happen to me? Ki hoya dvar Hashem li. The message that I relayed, which goes back on the Ezrak, was lecherbu lekeles kol hayom.
Everything that I say, Yishaya, on the other hand, Yishaya would like say, you know, you want to give somebody tochacha. What you generally do is you start. If you want to listen, you say something nice about him first, and then
you start
you say,
out.
However, but Yirmiya says, all I get to do is yell at them about everything they do. I never have anything nice to say.
Right. From the very beginning. Kol hayom. Okay, let's give you a kol hayom, the entire day. Kol hayomim shadaber dvar Hashem huli lecherpu lekeles. The entire day, all the days I speak dvar Hashem huli lecherpu lekeles. Shehim mecharfim. I see they curse me. Olav, I'm cursed. The keles, the word keles, it means in yono laag ubus. It means mockery, v'chein abuse, verbal abuse, verbal abuse. V'chein dikalosol kol haratzos. It's a curse to all of the lands in the Cheskel. The other Tirgim, Arei Bizman Da'ano Misnabe, Ano Meirim Koli, I raise my voice, Bochei, Umitzavach, and I cry out. I raise my voice and I cry out, V'al Chotoyfin Uvo Zoizin Ano, and the fact that I am beaten and I am despised, Ano Misnabe, Arei hava piskamo da Hashem li lichisudin de lilaag kol yama. That he's reading his interpretation into the Targum. The Targum says, when I call out to them with words of, I cry out them with words of bochei. One more time. Arei bizman da no misnabe. Whenever I say prophecy, mirim koli bochei. I will lift up my voice with in a crying sound, umitzavach, and that's ezok, kama. Then he goes on to say the al. There's a vav here, so he's saying that the next words are the chomos v'shod is the response, is the al chotoyfin uvozozinano misnabe, because they beat me and they despise me, and no misnaba, I say prophecy. I'm not really sure. I don't know.
I just read it. I'll close in a voice and I know misnaba. I have okay.
And we're reading from. Bizman de no misnaba, I know mirim koli b'chei, umitzavach. And now, what are the next words? The al, chotoyfin, uvozoizin ano misnabo. Okay, that refers to chomos. Chomos for shod.
But he's saying that's what he told them.
Ano misnabo.
Okay.
So he's learning like Rashi. Like Rashi. The Targum then seems to be like Rashi. The word chomos for shod is defining the nature of the content. The al chotoyfin uvozoizin ano misnabo. Arei hava piskama d'Hashem. So it turns out that this message, when I raise up my voice in tears and cry and crying in a wailing voice, telling them a message that they should stop the chomos and the shod, they don't like what I say, and therefore they beat me up and they curse me. So it appears in the Chlam, it appears that the Targum is learning not like the Radak, they're learning like the Perish we learned of Rashi. So sacha kol three mahalchim the pasuk. Everything is a perish of the content. Everything is a response or a hybrid of the Radak. The first part is the content, and the second part is the reaction. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Tes. Pasuk Tes says, "V'amarti," and I have said, "Lo es kerenu v'lo yadaber oy b'shmo." Now, this is a very, very critical pasuk to define the nature of a navi. This pasuk is quoted in all the books that describe what exactly is the nature of a navi. How does prophecy work? This is something that we have absolutely no clue we have no experience with, and the only way we can learn about what it was like to be a Navi is from studying these type of psukim. And this pasuk is critical to understand the nature. Nevuah, what appears from this pasuk, has a life of its own. When a Navi is given a Nevuah, he is forced to give it out. He is forced to express it. He does not have a choice. He's not able to withhold it. Who is a notable exception? The one who tried to hold back? Yonah. Yonah tried not to suppress the prophecy and not go to Nineveh. That is very interesting, because here he's saying over here something very fascinating. Yamarti, I said to myself, when you Hashem would give me words of prophecy that were not pleasant, lo yaskerenu. You know what? I'm going to suppress it. I'm not going to mention it. I'm not going to speak anymore in the name of Kodesh Baruch Hu. But you know what? I had no choice. I had no choice, because the prophecy took on a life of its own. It was in my heart like a burning fire. It was stored in my bones. I became tired containing it. It was a struggle. It was a battle to contain it. I lost the battle. I lost the battle. I had no choice but to unload. That means Yonah was stronger. Yonah, to some degree. Well,
eventually
he had to go because Ashkosh came back and came and twisted his arm. But Yirmiyah, it seems Hashem did not need to twist his arm. He was just weak. Yonah, after all, also realized, lived a lot earlier. Yonah was an earlier prophet. He lived during the time of Yeshaya, even maybe before that, at least 200 years before. So the earlier prophets were on even a higher level. And he was able to suppress, if he so wanted. Yirmiyah is saying that he was unable. He lost the battle. The battle, it took on a life of its own, and he was unable to conquer the nature of this prophecy. This is a very fascinating pasuk. Let's see the Mitzvah's pasuk says, Yamarti. Pe'omim rabos, many times Amarti b'libi lo yeskar b'pneyan shem Hashem alpi. I will not mention name Hashem alpi v'lo yadab o'ib nevu b'shmal, no longer speaking HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name v'hoi b'libi, avol nevu v'hoi b'libi ke'esh ha'promise. I was unable. It was in my heart like a fire by rest of the conus b'yatzmosoi. It was contained in my bones. V'nilesi nasesi nila v'oyef. I became weak and tired l'spol ki hanevu lo I was unable to withhold. He contained it, restrained his emotion. Not to say it. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk tells, if my heart would say to me, enough of this, what are you subjecting yourself to harassment? Just keep your mouth shut and you won't have to suffer. I was unable to do so because the nevuah has a life of its own. Okay, very, very fascinating. This was how Yirmiyah is defining the nature of his prophecy. Some rabbonim say the same thing. It was an expression: you're pregnant with a drasha. You come to an event and you have a machshava, you have an idea you want to bring out. You have to speak. That's the way it is.
Rabbi Cohen once made a speech. I was at a dinner or something, the installation, and he made a speech about that. He said that he came prepared one time and they didn't ask him to speak. Mm. And then he said, so now I came all ready. I have to get it out.
Exactly.
He said, so now you're going to hear it.
A woman who's pregnant, the baby has to come out.
Today,
you ever hear this expression? You're pregnant with a drasha. Yeah. The marshal is, a woman who's pregnant, the baby has to come out, dead or alive. The fetus is coming out, one way or another. The drasha, the rabbi has a drasha, it's coming out. It's coming out. Whether people are going to listen or not, dead or alive, the drasha is coming out. Swollen, no, but they say the expression is pregnant.
Yeah, swollen sometimes is swelling.
Go down.
She's in the shape of things to come.
Okay, this. What?
If not by chakras,
will
come out.
It's going to come out one way or another. So that's he comes because there's something to it. It's like a message. Hashem puts machshav in the mind. It's a minor prophecy. Otsur bi'atzmosai, bi'konus bi'atzmosai, ho'esh, the fire of this prophecy is contained in my bones, and I can no longer bear to contain it. Kilkel, lispol ho'esh, I can no longer contain the fire, the fire has to come out. Okay, next, let's see the Radak, Radak Pasuk Tes. Or if I'll contemplate this idea of not expressing the prophecy, if I would come with such a thought, why should I subject myself to this harassment by giving you such a message? It would not work. I would do everything in my power lehoitziyam to prevent it from coming out. V'chen kmo im hoya ish otzur biatzmosai sheeshtadel lehoitziyoy b'chol koichi kein divar Hashem. If I would try to prevent it from coming out, it would not help. Nil esi kilkel, nil esi l'chalkeloy. I am tired from containing it. V'loy uchal lispol b'kirbi, I'm unable to contain it within me. Kmo im hoya eish v'ani al korchi moitzi b'sfosai v'amru lohem, I had no choice but to say the words. V'omar bo'eres yomar otzur k'yo eish yimotzei zochu nekevo. He's asking a question, why is it bo'eres? That is b'loshon nekevo. And then it says by the bones, Otsur Beloshon Zohor. And it was saying this word, the word, and it's referring to the word Eish. The word Boeres is a definition, an adjective for Eish. And Otsur is an adjective for Eish. So it's a contradiction. Make up your mind. It's Eish Zohor, or it's Eish Nekeva. So add this to your long list of words, which can be both Zohor and Nekeva. There's a very long list of words. That can be both Zohar and Nekeva. Ki'esh Yotza, so Ki'esh Yimotze Zohar Nekeva. And he gives an example. Ki'esh Yotza Nekeva, the feminine form, Lecheshvan. Or the Pasuk Acher Zohar Nekeva, Te'achlehu Esh Lo Nupach. Te'achlehu is Lashon, is eating. Achila is Lashon, is Zohar, Lo Nupach, that's not been blown. Nupach is also in the Zohar. Kalkel. And the plural, it's Zohar. Is it all? Okay, so sometimes it's Zohar, sometimes it's Nekeva. Fine. Next grammatical lesson. The word kalkel, I can no longer sustain it. Inyan sovel, it means to bear. It means to contain, to v'chein mi mechalkel im yom bo'o. Who can contain it? On the day that he comes. Okay, whatever that means here. But it means to contain. Alright, next pasuk. Pasuk yud. Vinilesi pasuk yud ki shamati dibas rabim. I have heard the slander. Dibas rabim means the lashon of the rabim. Mogor mi saviv. They gather around me saying. Now here is very interesting record of what people were thinking about Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah is saying that I hear the report, the slander of the rabbim. They are a magor misaviv. They all gather around me, hagidu, and they say to me, "Tell us, vinagidenu." Tell it and let us tell about him. Hagidu, we'll have to see the Mitzugos for this in one moment. They all demand to hear what I have to say. They all can't wait to hear my words so they can use my words as an excuse to harm me. Okay, we'll come back to those two words in a moment. Now here's something very, 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 very frightening. Kol enoish shloimi shoyrei tzali. All of the people that I think are my friends. Okay, Shlomi means my friends. Enosh means the people that I think are my friends. They're not my friends. They're watching my footsteps. They're shomer, they're guarding tzali, my strides. And they can't wait for me to trip. They can't wait for me to stumble, to say the wrong thing, so they can use it as an excuse to eliminate me, to knock me off. Ula yifuteh. And they all say maybe he will be enticed, to do something, to do a crime for which we can report to the king that he is guilty of treason, v'nuchlolo, and we can finally get him. In other words, Yirmiyah is always getting off on technicalities. Yirmiyah is always, he's always escapes. He's like a cat. He has nine lives. Every time we think we got him, we finally, he did a crime for which we can finally use it as an excuse for once and for all to eliminate him. We'll go to the king and say to the king that he's guilty of treason, we can kill him, and we'll be justified in eliminating him. He gets off on a technicality. So we're watching his steps like a hawk until finally he'll do something where he indeed will be guilty. The nikha nikmasenu mimeno, we can't wait. Maybe he'll be enticed someone. We'll do a sting operation. We'll set him up.
We're just waiting.
I mean, there's nothing new here. The nikha nikmasenu mimenu, will be able to exact our vengeance from him. Okay, there's a lot going on in this passage. Let's go slow in the Mitzudot Stavot. Let's start again. Okay, this is a very fascinating record of the way people treated Yirmiyah. Ki shamati, Yirmiyah says, Afal pisha shamati divrei rabim, I've heard divrei rabim, asifas oivim misaviv, sha'oimim elu lo'elu, I listen to my enemies stand all around me, they gather around me and they say to each other, hagidu olav, here's how the Mitzudot stones, those two words, Hagidu olav edu sheker, testify against him false testimony. V'nagid hadavar hahu lifnei hamelech. Okay, so that's how he translates these two words. My enemies, they stand around and they demand: is anyone here that's willing hagidu to report false testimony or testimony that Yirmiyah has done a crime? And if someone will come forward with a report, v'nagidenu, we will present it to the authorities. We'll accuse him of being of doing some terrible crime. Someone come forward and put your name that you're a victim of his abuse. And when someone will come forward and present their claim, we will then take this claim and we will present it to the authorities and legitimately put an end to him. Who will lock him up and throw away the key of an agidenu. That's how
they were afraid to do it themselves. You gotta get somebody else.
Someone else. Well, that's today. That's the big thing today. Today, when this smoke, right? You have this all the time where people are suspected of wrongdoing. They always looking for a victim to come forward and to say exactly what this person did. And finally, when the victim comes forward, you say, "Wow! Finally, this person had the courage to come forward." Why? How come no one wants to come forward? Because it's collateral damage. If you're going to confess that you're a victim, so you're tainting yourself. You don't want to go down. Well, like a fool, but like, you know, let's say there are people who are really victims. It's a very, very big problem. People who really are victims. They don't want for shidduchim. They should be known 10 years from now that they were a victim of someone's abuse. It's not a good thing. So very people, when there's always rumors that so-and-so is doing crime, and it's very, very hard to find a victim that's willing to come forward and to actually put his name on the report. And until that happens, this person gets away with it. And then when this person, they want to throw him out, it's not fair. There's no evidence. It's just rumors. You can't go get rid of me. And in the meantime, everyone's stuck in the middle. That's exactly what's happening over here. The problem is, Yirmiyah was really innocent. Yirmiyah did nothing. So the only way you're going to get people to come forward is you have to have liars. You have to have Eid Sheker. So that's why it's taking a very long time. They're saying, Hagidu, is there anyone here that's willing to sign the documents, to issue a false report? And then we will take your false report, we will present to the authorities, to the melech, and we'll lock him up and get rid of him. That's how the Mitzudos learns pshat. Then he goes on to say something very frightening called Eno Shlomi. Anshe, this is an expression, I think that this common modern expression, Anshe Shloimenu, right? It's a modern expression, it means our people, one of us, part of the team. Anshe Shloimenu, you know this expression in Hebrew? Anshe Shloimenu? Anshe Shloimenu. Anshe Shlomeinu, I think it comes here from this. You ever heard the expression in Hebrew? Anshe Shlomeinu? Where does it come from? It's a modern Hebrew expression, right?
It means our cult.
Our cult. Anshe Shlomeinu. Where does it come from? This pasuk. Called Enosh Shloimi. Okay, it's a singular form, but it's the same idea. Ena shlomi remitzudos kol enosh kol ish ish asher chashavtim shehem oyavi. I thought they were my friends. You know, who else would not be friends? The cheftze shlomi. Hey, mom, mitzapim, they're yearning al takolosi liyot soleah. They are me mitzapim al takolosi on my takola liyot soleah. That they can't wait until I trip paseach and I stumble with any militus an expression. She reminds me of war. I was listening to the shiur from the Rakefet, a Rakefet that the Lubavitcher Rebbe, that when he first became the Rebbe after his father-in-law died, there was, I think, at least for 1 year there was no Rebbe. And it was the big debate, who would be the Rebbe? Would it be Rav Menachem Mendel, or would it be Gur Ari? So there was a big debate among the Hasidim who should be the Rebbe. So Rav Menachem Mendel Schneerson, he had no intent. That's the way he describes it. Absolutely never had a hava mina that he would be the Rebbe. And then slowly people started treating him like the Rebbe. And then he has a story there, I don't remember who it was, to someone he was very close with, and also he said something to him like he treated him like he was the Rebbe. And he said to him, even you? even you? I never would expect to be part of this conspiracy, this kesher to make me the Rebbe. The Anshei Shlomi, people who I thought were on my team, on my side, I see also not on my side. So this is what it is called, Enosh Shlomi, period. Ulai Yifuteh, but Omram, they said, Ulai, another technique, Ulai Yifuteh Lidvoreinu, Venuch Lalo, maybe he will be enticed after our words, and we will succeed. Sheidaber Dava Sheyeh Balvuroi, Chayiv Misa, he will say something that for what he says, he'll be chayiv misa for us. Nikha es nikma same mimenu. So it seems from this part of the pasuk, the second is another technique. If no one is going to come forward to testify falsely, so we have to set him up. We'll set him up. We'll set him up, and we'll say something. We'll have all the recorders, and we'll have all. We'll bait him. We'll entrap him. And then we'll be able finally, and who's doing this? His best friends. People that I thought were my best friends, they're also part of the conspiracy to set me up in order to trap me. Okay, Rashi, let's see how you learn something a little bit different. Rashi Pasuk Yud says, Ki Shabbati, Ani Amarti Shloi Eskerenu, I said that I'm not going to mention prophecy. It was my plan to stop the prophecy. Why? Lefisha Shamati Dibas Ram Elu Shemis Lachashim Olai. I heard them whispering. I heard them conspiring against me. Magor, they were gathering. There were meetings. Meetings were taking place behind closed doors to figure out how to silence me, how to eliminate me. Loshon Asefa, V'chein Targum. You understand? We have many times asked Magor. It means really one of two things. Sometimes it means Asefa, means a gathering, and sometimes it means terror. We had this yesterday, and it's the same thing. It's a gathering in order to bring about terror for a victim. Hagidu, okay, Rashi so far the same. Olav Edu Sheker V'Nagidenu V'Noidenu, and we will present it. We will testify upon him the Sheker, and then we will present it to the authorities. Umenachem Pirush Manachem has a new interpretation. Hagidu V'Nagidenu K'mo Lo Tiskoididu. It means we'll cut him down. Hagidu is like Lo Tiskoididu. Do not gash yourself. Hagidu v'nagidenu, let's cut him into pieces. That's how he learns. That Yirmiyah heard people behind his back saying, let's figure out a way to slice him up. We'll slice up Yirmiyah into little pieces. V'chein chiber chiber l'chelek yagid re'im loshon haschon l'chelek yagid re'im. In that context, it means well to cut them up. Loshon hashchasa k'mo godu ilana, to cut down a tree. Okay, so that's the second interpretation. The third interpretation, the dunash posar, also loshon hagodamamish. It means speech. Now, what does it mean? The chop hisro. You know, this is the way you should interpret it according to dunash. Hagidu olav divrei sheker, testify. That's really how Rashi started. Testify divrei sheker v'nagidenu lemelech. And we will present it to the king.
In the first parashah, he didn't say it's going to present it to the king.
said the night began, if you're not began, we will repeat it.
We will repeat it to the king. All right, so that's what he wants to add. That's what Dunash coming to add. The yesh lanu kamo nagidenu devarim rabim mikra asher lo yochin pishroim kiim kiim aid ad asher yichalkun l'shtei tevos or l'shalosh. You have to break it up into two or three words. Kamo v'lo yochlu dabro l'shalom. So there it means lo yoch v'lo yoch v'lo yochlu. So lida dabro l'shalom bonai yitzuni. So what does it mean over there?
No, what he's saying, dabro is a combination of words.
Of which words? Diber olaf, to speak about him. So hagidu means speak. Hagid olaf, speak about him. That's really what Allah of Eidus Sheker. That's really what he said in the first interpretation. Okay, for one time, the Dunash Pasa also Loshon Hagodim Amish Kobeshanu Hagido Olaf. He's adding a word. Make believe the word Hagido is really two words. Hagido Olaf Divrei Sheker VeNagidenu. Add another word into the text. Lamelach VeYeshlanu Kamo Nagidenu Dvarim Rambam Mikra Shelo Yochin Pishronikin Ad Asher Yichalkun L'Shtei Tevos O L'Shalosh Kamo V'Lo Yochlo Dabro Daber Olaf. L'shalom, bonai yitzuni yotzu me'imi. They've gone out from me. You have to add another word, and that's seemingly what he means here as well. Okay, so bottom line is we have really two interpretations according to Rashi. It means either to testify false testimony. That's the first and the third parish, dunash, and then the other one is to cut them into pieces. Shomrei, my friends, shomrei tzilai, they're watching my strides. Mitzapim shavri, they're waiting for me to break. They're yearning for me, for my slipping, of my I should fall. Ula yifuteh l'shmoy olanu v'lutah sachareinu. He'll listen to us. Also, he has a different interpretation than the Mitzudos. Yifuteh is maybe he will agree with us that
come over to the dark side.
Dark side, that he's not good. The Hashem is not going to do anything to us. Okay, let's see Radak, and we'll conclude with the Radak pasuk. And pasik yud ki shemat dibas shabim loshon harasha molai. I heard about the loshon they spoke about me. Mogur misaviv mafchidim osi misaviv. They terrorize me from all sides. Zemikan. If you understand, taking mogur loshon asefa the miskanshin, they would gather sechor misechor sechor kmo yoguru olai azim. Which they also means they would gather upon him as in vicious people. Yigoyreu b'chermo, to surround him with a cherm, with a curse. U'mahe marim olai zilza, what would they say to each other in their harsh words? Hagidu v'nagidenu. Perash, hagidu devar sheker olav. Like what the Dunash said, what the Mitzudo says, let us testify false testimony. Like it says before, Parakut Ches, we will go and we will strike him with slander. We will report to the king that he's guilty of treason. Call Eno Shlomi Shomer Tzali. Oysam, those people, Shehoyisi Choshev Shehem Anshein Shlomi, that I thought they were my friends, Heim Shomrim Mitzapim Mosai Eyet Soleya Vinichshal B'Shum Dovar. They were yearning, they were guarding and waiting until I would trip on something. Ulai yifuteh v'nuchlo lo. Ulai yifteh lidvarenu. Sheyoichal v'yishteh imanu. So he learns they will eat, maybe he'll come for dinner. If he'll come for dinner, we'll have an opportunity to poison him. Not like Rashi, the dark side. Not like the Mitzudos will set him up to do and have to say something improper and we'll have a recorder and we'll finish him off. Maybe we'll convince him, he'll take us up on an invitation to come over for a Shabbos lunch. And when he comes over for Shabbos lunch, we'll poison him. Because they would feed him poison. If only Yite, he will make a mistake. Yite, which maybe fits more like the Mitzudos, is he'll say something that will be Shiyidah. Look at the Mitzudos again. Shiyidaber Dovar Shiyye Ba'avuroi Chayiv Misa. Okay, so bottom line is three Mahalchim of what they're trying to entice him to do. To say something that would cause him to pay with his life, or to come over to the dark side, as Nechemya said, and that's in the translation of Rashi, or the Radak says he'll come over for a meal and we'll have an opportunity to poison him and to kill him. Okay, so we'll stop here in the middle of this discussion.